privilege to be here this morning. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. And all right, that's enough. Okay. I will. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to be here. And I don't think you'll realize until one day that God, if God allows some of you, I really appreciate that. You need to go to the clinic. But I'm very thankful for the pastor God's given to us. And man, I love to get to serve the man of God. And I love to do whatever I can. I plead with you. If God allows you to be a pastor, great. But if God doesn't allow you to be a pastor, man, help your pastor. Man, help him, encourage him, motivate him. And he gets that from the Word of God, and he gets that from, obviously, his family. But, man, I'm very thankful for our pastor. A little intimidated to be preaching when he's here this morning. If you want to use this, you can, Pastor. But Psalm 39 this morning, Psalm 39. I love you, college students. My wife and I love you. And I'm very honored to serve here. When I came to college here, I never thought that I would have the opportunity, and to be very frank, I never wanted the opportunity to come back to teach, but God wanted it. And it's one of those things where I thought, man, God will leave us on the mission field, allow us to stay there for all of our life. I'd been praying that God would allow us to serve on the mission field for 50 years. We were only in that country. We'd already served in Mexico, but we were only in Peru for just under 3 years, so kind of 47 years short of what my goal was. But God's got a purpose, and can I just encourage you as we run to the pastors this morning, wherever God leads you, be willing to go. Amen. And I can't wait till I get out of college. I'm still here, so no, I'm just joking about that. But I'm thrilled for what God has given to me, and I believe God's given us some great college students this semester. I'm thrilled for the students that I get the privilege of rubbing shoulders with in the hallway and the office, the classroom. Psalm 37, let's read the first seven verses. It says here in verse number one, it says, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good. And my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine ages is nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether, what's the next word? Vanity. And he wants us to think about that a little bit more, and that's why it says, Selah, think on these things, or meditate on these things. Verse number six, surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? And I love this last phrase. It's not the message this morning, although it would make a good message. My hope is in thee. My hope is in thee. I'm going to preach on verse number three, and I'll go to several other passages. Verse number three again, would you read it with me? It says this, my heart was hot within me. Then spake I with my tongue. I just have a simple question. I know it may even seem like a Spirit Week type message, and that's not the purpose of the message. Like I really appreciated the messages last week. I got quite a bit of exercise holding the sheet of paper over my head. And I was. Brother King kept saying, can you hold up their arms? And I was like, please. And for 22, 3 minutes, I was so glad for the invitation. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. But I was like, come on, he's already asked you 15 times, please. Those were not tears, okay? But I appreciate the messages last week, and I appreciate your spirit last week. Appreciate getting to have a little part in that. But I'm gonna ask you a simple question this morning, and then I'll pray. Are you fired up? Are you fired up? Yes, for me, before I pray, I'll give you a quick thought. I'm concerned sometimes for my generation, and I'm concerned sometimes for those young people that are in kind of the same generation as I am, although I'm probably 25 years older than most of you. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. They just woke up. But I'm a little concerned because I sense that everything, if I can say it, everything becomes a game. Everything becomes a chore. And man, if I can beg you, if I can plead with you this morning, I beg you, be fired up for the things of God. Amen. Be fired up. I plead with you as you go to the class and as you fill up reports and as you go to work and as you take tests and as you go to whatever schedule, as you go on the bus route, I plead with you this morning, there ought to be something on the inside. There ought to be something motivating you, something that's pushing you to do more for God. I'm going to pray. I'll jump right into the message. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. I need you. I need you desperately this morning, Father. And I don't need you any more today than I did yesterday, and I don't need you any more right now than I did this morning. I need you at all times the same manner, but I know right now it's very evident to me how desperately I need you. I'd ask you that you speak through me. I'd ask that your word would be accomplished and that it wouldn't return void because you promise it. In Jesus' name, amen. Vince Lombardi made this statement. He said, if you aren't fired with enthusiasm, you'll be fired with enthusiasm. And I asked myself the question, some of y'all get that around lunchtime, it's okay. We'll give you a little bit of time. Sometimes I think as I go to college classrooms, sometimes I think in my own life, sometimes I get up in the morning, sometimes after I find out who I am and why I am and where I am and realize, oh, I got to teach class in a little bit. I better go ahead and get up. I better start heading to a staff meeting. I better start heading to a prayer meeting. I ask myself the question, am I motivated by God for what God's given me to do? Because see, God's given me a responsibility and God's given you responsibility. Do you have the zeal? Do you have the fire? Do you have the enthusiasm that you need for his work? Go back to verse number 3. Verse number 3 says this, my heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. I see, first of all, there was a musing. I'll come back to this in a little bit, but that musing is meditation. You will be one day what you meditate upon. You know, if you want to be someone that God uses, guess what? You'll probably have to meditate a lot on God's word. If you want to be someone that's a successful bus captain, successful bus worker, and I'm not talking about numbers, I'm talking about someone being used by God, though I think you ought to get everyone you can, though I think you ought to fill up every bus that you can, though I think you ought to knock on every door that you can. But meditate. A lost art in Christianity and lost art for a lot of even Americans is meditation. Meditation, thinking. When pastor preaches a message on Sunday morning, think about it, chew on it. When pastor preaches a message on Sunday night, chew on it, meditate upon it. When pastor says there's a need, chew on it, think about it. When your division leader says there's a need, think about it, meditate upon it. When he says purity, think on purity. When we talk about the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God. Number 2, after the meditation, there was a fire that burned. There was a fire that burned. It's amazing. Last week, I saw some people last week, Brother Collins, that I've not seen, if I can state it, don't take this the wrong way, but I've not seen them say hardly anything. And last week it was like their twin was here. Last week it was like maybe they drank 3 or 4 coffees before the first game. And by the way, I like the spirit because I know you have a fire, but make sure it's placed toward the right things. Because everybody in here gets excited about something. If I talked about the Bears, some people just got excited. If I talk about the Yankees, if I talk about the Cardinals, if I talk about a sports team, if I talk about, sometimes if I talked about tacos, or if I talked about, exactly, there's a fire. Just make sure you don't bring them in here, okay? But there's a fire inside. I just proved it again. I saw it last week. But my concern, stay with me, my concern for my life, I'm preaching to me here, my concern for my life is sometimes the fire is put to the wrong areas. And then when it's time for God's work, if it's time for God to use me, the Holy Spirit to work through me, I don't have the energy, and I want to blame it on God, like, God, you didn't give me the energy, and God's like, no, you put the energy in the wrong areas. So I look at the passage this morning. Number 1, while I was musing, there's the meditation. I see number 2, there's a fire that burned. And then I speak with my tongue. It says here, then spake I with my tongue. Let me ask you a few questions. Remember when you had to just read another chapter? You just had to? Remember when you read the Bible and you couldn't put it down? Remember when tears would stream down your face to realize how much God loved you and how much God cared for you and how good God has been to you? Remember that sweet time you had with Him? Remember when you walked around the lake? Remember when you were behind the gym spending time with the Lord? Remember those sweet times of prayer and those answered prayers? How long has it been? Remember when you were thirsty for God? Remember when you couldn't wait to go soul winning? Remember you couldn't wait till Sunday because Sunday's coming? Jeremiah 20, verse number 9, would you look there with me? Jeremiah 20, verse number 9. Jeremiah 20, verse number 9. Aren't you glad we have the Word of God this morning? Man, what a book. What a Savior. What a God. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 9, it says this. I'm going to go ahead. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Guess what? Jeremiah was where you and I are sometimes. That's it. I don't want to go soul winning anymore. That's it. I don't want to go on the bus route this weekend. That's it. I'm tired of knocking on doors. You ever been there? I'm tired of passing out tracts. I'm tired of hearing no. I'm tired of a bus not being full. I'm tired of empty seats. I'm tired of my visitors not coming. I'm tired of the person that was going to be discipled, not wanting to be discipled. But I ask you the question, have you lost the fire? Because everybody's not going to want it. Everybody's not going to want the gospel. Everybody's not going to be on the road to discipleship. Not everyone's going to want to be trained. So I'm looking for those. Every time I go door knocking, every no is one no closer to the next yes. I just got to find them. And guess who already knows who they are? The Holy Ghost. Oh, that we would be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, that we would be guided by the Holy Ghost. Oh, that we would be led by the Holy Ghost. Would you look with me another passage? Luke 24. Apparently will not, as you look at it, it won't seem to be part of the message, but it's a crucial part of the message where I got the main points this morning. But Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24. For many years I thought, man, I can give someone the knowledge that they need. I can give someone the helps that they need. I can talk to a man by the name of Brother Kevin Wynn or Brother Rick Martin, Brother Bushy. I can talk with a Dr. Seymour, Brother Joe Palmer and I can work together, Brother Jim Belisle. I can talk with pastor. I can talk with others who've been out there and done that. I can try to give knowledge. And I thought, but one thing that I don't know how to give to a young man, they either have it or they don't, is fire. They either have it or I can't give them a passion. And so about 2 weeks ago, before I, maybe a little bit longer than that, but before I knew I was going to be speaking in chapel, I thought, Lord, would you show me? Where in your word could you help me if somebody wants the fire? Because I really think that those in here that don't have the fire, I believe you want it or you wouldn't be here. And those that have had the fire, but it's waned, it's not where it once was, I think you want the fire back. And those that have fire right now and don't want it to diminish, you want to keep the fire. And so I said, Lord, would you show me, would you help me, would you guide me to how can a college student have the fire of God on their life if they really want it? Because really it's your decision. You can take it or leave it. I choose to take it because I want God's help. I really want God to use me. And I believe you're here because you really want God to use you. But Luke chapter 24, look down at verse number 24. We'll just keep it easy, 24. You're welcome. Verse 24, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and the slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them and all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. I don't know how long they were there, but if they started in the first five books and they went to the prophets, it was more than a little devotional. Everyone still with me? Pretty long passage there. Just look at it, kind of figure it out. I don't know how many passages, I don't know how many hours, but they were there and apparently they wanted it. Let's continue reading here. It says, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. He tricked them, no. He made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us. And I'm going to go beyond this, but you know, that's what I want. Man, I want him to be with me. I don't want him to go. I don't want him to leave. I don't want him to head somewhere else. I need him with me. Abide with me. Stay with me. Sup with me. Spend time with me. Feel me. Use me. Help me. Counsel me. Guide me. They said, abide with me. Then it says, abide with us. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were what? Their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. One of the most unique stories, okay? They obviously up until this point were like, this is good, this is a good passage, this is a good passage. And after he did all that, they said, oh, this is Jesus. Stay with me here. And then he left out of their sight. Look at verse number 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart... Help me with me. Verse number 32, it says, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us when he... What's the two areas here? First of all, when he talked with us, by the way. Second of all, while he did what unto us? Opened unto us the simple message this morning, though I'm not done. Okay, don't put your shoes back on yet. Simple message this morning, and it's probably so simple, if I were a college student and I were 18, 19, or 20, I'd probably miss it this morning. It's so simple. It's something, as I told a class earlier this morning, we hear as when we're younger, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll... You're doing good, and you'll... Just keeping you with me, and you'll... Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll... Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll... And you'll... And you'll... Okay, some of you guys are enjoying that too much. Stop. But I ask you the question, have you done those two things today? Because I see three ingredients. I'm going to use two from the passage here, and I'm going to use one from Psalm 39. The first ingredient is prayer. The first ingredient is prayer this morning. You say, how can I have the fire? How can God use me like I want him to use me? It's really hard for God to use us like he wants to use us if we don't ask him. And we don't spend time with him. I'm going to read several verses here, but for sake of time. Psalm 42, verse 1 says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Psalm 63, verse 1 says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. How many of you have played sports before? Anybody ever been thirsty before? I ask you this morning, are you thirsty for God? Do you want God? Do you want his presence? Do you want his power? Do you want his help? Do you want him with you? Psalm 84, verse 2 says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart, my flesh crieth out for the living God. I'll give a quick illustration and I'll move on. This summer I had a simple medical procedure that kind of went wrong. Caused an infection. I won't go into all of that. Just a challenging situation. And I found myself for 8 days at 102 fever. You know, one day was enough, but 8 days was a little challenging. And I still don't know what God was teaching me through that. But you know, I couldn't hardly get out of bed during those days. But you know one thing I said, and I said it time and time again, and I think God wanted to hear it time and time again. God, I need you. Oh, God, I need you. Stay with me here. I would have never asked God to put me on my back. I would have never asked God for a fever like that. I would have never asked that from God. But I found out how desperately in those days I needed God, and I found out how desperately this morning I needed God. I ask you the question, do we need him, or can we do college by ourselves? Because I found myself many times doing college by myself. And that's a lonely feeling. It's a lonely feeling when you come back from the bus route and realize the Holy Spirit didn't do what he could have done because we didn't ask him. Psalm 5:3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning while I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Psalm 143 and verse 6, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Several illustrations I'm going to skip over this morning, but I thought of the song yesterday as I was preparing my heart for the message. In God's heart there's a place I was made to feel. I find amazing grace when I'm found within his will. He's reserved a sacred place where we can spend the day. And he's waiting there for me, inviting me to stay. And every day I'm amazed that God would spend the day with me. I'm overwhelmed by his grace, that he would feel such love for me. To him I'm worth saving. And my heart is craving to know him in his righteousness and to understand his ways every day. In every way, I'm amazed. Amen. You amazed this morning? First ingredient is prayer. Second ingredient is the Word of God, the Bible. Sorry for the simplicity of the message. Carnally, sometimes you look at a message, you say, this is not sophisticated, but I promise you, as I think I heard pastor say recently, a lot of times it's the basics that we've forgotten. We try to have a bigger promotion. We try to give out a few more dollars. And by the way, I'm not against promotion. Jesus gave out fish sandwiches. Everybody still with me? Okay. Jesus apparently did that because people would come. Jesus healed people. Okay. Anybody else want to see? You know, there were some things that happened that Jesus did, and I'm not sure we call them promotion, but okay, let's move on. Number two, We see the Bible. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse number 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I came across a unique quote 2 days ago. Charles Spurgeon was asked, what's more important, praying or reading the Bible? So he answered the question by asking another one. What's more important, breathing in or breathing out? Breathing in or breathing out? And I ask myself the question, I ask you the question, what's more important this morning, prayer or Bible reading? I think both are. How are we doing this morning? The first ingredient's prayer. The second ingredient's the Bible. The third ingredient's meditation. Good. Meditation. I'm almost done. Stay with me. Joshua 1:8 said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. As Pastor says, there's two good times, daytime and nighttime. It says day and night, that thou mayest observe it to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night in Psalm 1. Psalm 77:12, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. For whatever reason, I think this morning there's some college students that need to thank God for his goodness and meditate on his goodness and think about how good God's been doing. Instead of thinking about a school bill that's being due, think about God's goodness and ask God for his help. Sometimes we don't know why we don't want to go soul winning, or why we don't have an interest in teaching a Sunday school class, or why we don't want to go on the bus routes, or why we don't want to teach and preacher, why we don't want to encourage someone. We will not want to have the fire or zeal to do the Lord's work unless we're praying, spending time in the Bible, and meditating on the right things. I'm going to give you one more passage. I'll give you one illustration. I'm done. James 4:14. James 4:14, please. James 4:14. James 4:14 says this. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I ask myself the question and I ask you the question, what are we going to do with our life? I thought about this morning. I thought, man, wouldn't it be great if we had more pastors that love a church like our pastor does and gave his all and gave fire and gave zeal and gave the knowledge and gave the enthusiasm? Wouldn't it be great if we saw more song leading like Brother Anthony Collins? Wouldn't it be great if we had more people like Brother Stubblefoot that would just go a place and help college students as they graduate and as they serve the Lord? Wouldn't it be great if we had another Brother Jerry Varga or Dr. Dan Seamer, or Brother Mark Bushy, or Brother Jesse Dominguez, or Brother Phil Pins, or Mrs. Moffitt? Wouldn't it be great if we had people that had the fervor, that had the zeal, that had what they can for the cause of Christ? Well, an illustration, I'm done. 3 years ago, I was visiting my grandmother, and for whatever reason, since the next day, that was the last time that I would see my grandma, and she's in heaven now. She did pass away about 6 weeks later. I'll never forget visiting her. And when I went in, I'll be careful of the illustration, but when I went in, she said, I want to talk, and she mentioned several family members. She said, I want to talk to so-and-so. Can you get them on Skype, or can you get them on FaceTime? And I was like, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm visiting you right now, but if you want to talk to them, that's fine. You know, I can go home. You know, I went 6 hours out of my way, no big deal. And I was never so shocked to what she asked them. One after another, she said, dial so-and-so, I want to talk to him. I said, yes, ma'am. And she asked them, and her one question was, when are you coming to visit me? And I just stood, I didn't know whether to hang up the phone or what to do. When are you coming to visit me? And by the way, every family member, she had me call 3 or 4 family members. And every one of them, I couldn't help it. I thought, what a question. When are you going to visit me?
Come on.
I remember the next day, bringing some things to her room, and I told my wife when I went to the car, I said, sweetheart, I can't explain it, but I feel the Holy Spirit told me this is the last time I'll see her. I don't know how to explain it. I'll just leave it there. And it was until I did her funeral. But I think some of you this morning, Jesus himself is asking, when are you going to visit me?
Well, come on.
When are you going to read my word? When are you going to get on fire again? When are the things of God going to be more important than the things that we have and the goals that we have? I don't know about you, but I want the fire, but I'm not going to have it unless I read God's word, unless I spend time in prayer, unless I meditate on God's goodness. I believe if I do those three things, something will burn in my heart, and then I want to do something for him. And I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes this morning. Father, I pray that you'd help the invitation. I needed it today, and for whatever reason, maybe there's a college student or two that might need the same thing. Oh, God, I pray that you'd fire us up. I pray that you'd light a fire in our heart. You'd give us passion. You'd give us enthusiasm. You'd give us a zeal. Also, the knowledge to balance it. Help us to do your work effectively. Help us be filled with your Spirit. Help us to be used by you in Jesus' name.